Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, we have begun now to get into the contents of the prophecy of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. The last prophetic message that God spoke to his people until 400 years later, more than 400 years later, John the Baptist came on the scene and was a prophet who spoke the word of God, followed closely by Jesus Christ, the ultimate prophet who spoke the word of God. But Malachi, who prophesied to Israel in the days after their return from Babylonian exile, after they had rebuilt the temple and rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem and were carrying out the religious practices and ceremonies that had been prescribed by Moses, and yet though they were going through the outward ritual, their heart was not in tune with God. They did not love God. They did not desire to serve God. They did not desire to draw close to God. They did not return to God the love that God had showered upon them, which could be demonstrated in hundreds of ways, not the least of which was this incredible return from Babylonian captivity. How often does that happen? How often in the history of the nations of the earth have a people been completely decimated and removed from their nation and carried off into some other nation, and then nearly 100 years later, come back to their own land again? How often does that happen? I don't know of any other examples in history. And the only way it did happen, the only way it could have happened, is if God had protected the land, kept it available, brought them back to it, reestablished them in the land, allowed them to rebuild, to become established there again. It's a remarkable story. It's a remarkable history that demonstrates the love of God. And here God is declaring his love to them, and they say, ho-hum, I don't see it. Where's the evidence of it? No wonder God has a charge. No wonder God has an indictment against his people, like a lawyer pressing charges against a defendant in a courtroom, as a defendant doesn't think he's guilty, but the lawyer makes the charge and then begins to mount the evidence, begins to declare the evidence and lay it out in the courtroom for all to see. That's similar to what's going on here. Malachi, speaking for God, declares God's love. Israel declares their disbelief at the declaration of God's love, and then God lays out the evidence for his amazing love to them, which they just don't seem to appreciate, don't even seem to believe or recognize. We will continue studying this portion on this Thursday, August 29. We're glad you've joined us. We're very grateful for those whose financial gifts have made it possible. Here is the text, Malachi 1:2. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Answer, was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. And we'll stop there. Now that is one of the most difficult statements, I suppose, in all the Bible. It's found here in the book of Malachi. It is quoted in the New Testament book of Romans. This is what God declares. Jacob, I have loved, Esau, I have hated. And this is the evidence that God gives to the disbelief that has been expressed by his people. I have loved you, says the Lord. Israel says, in what way have you loved us? Answer, was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord, yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Now, as we see, God goes on to explain the nature of his hate, and it can be accurately described by saying his hatred of Esau was his decision not to bless them. Now, I will read more of it. Yet Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and rebuild the desolate places, thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. You say, well, that sounds to me like something a little more serious, a little more active than simply to say God chose not to bless them. It sounds like he is actively opposing them, and I would agree. But what I want you to understand is that God's treatment of Edom, the nation that grew out of Esau, was to treat them like he's treated virtually every other nation in history. Namely, he's allowed them to go much longer than they had any right to expect in their sin and rebellion against him, and then eventually he brought judgment down upon them because of their sinfulness. And in Esau's case, as like in so many other nations down through history, that judgment was severe enough that it wiped them out. It destroyed them completely. They ceased to function. They eventually became amalgamated into the nations around them. It took several hundred years for this to be fully accomplished, but the end result was there is no nation of Edom today. And God says, you have witnessed this. Even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. In other words, I'm not going to let up. I'm not going to relent. I'm not going to punish them for a little while and then say, okay, that's enough, and now you can be restored. No, they are going to be punished until they are destroyed. And then he says to Israel, your eyes shall see. You're going to witness this. You're going to see it. And they did. And you shall say, the Lord be magnified beyond the borders of Israel. The Lord be magnified in his just judgment upon the nation of Edom. But God sets this before them as evidence of his love for them. What he's saying is, if I had treated you like I treated Edom, you wouldn't even exist. And clearly, their sins were as bad as Edom's. They deserved the judgment of God as much as Edom. They deserved to be wiped out as much as Edom. They were severely judged by allowing Babylon to come in and to destroy the city of Jerusalem and destroy their temple and to carry them off captive, and they should have been dispersed among the nations of the earth and never returned and never restored and ceased to exist as a nation just like Edom was. But look, God brought them back, Israel. God restored them to their land. God preserved them. God protected them. If that isn't evidence of God's love, I don't know what is. His love of Israel was seen in his protecting and preserving them in spite of the judgment which they deserved, richly deserved. Whereas in the case of Edom, he let the judgment continue to its full deserved conclusion until they were destroyed. So that Edom's effort to reverse their fortunes with great effort do not avail. They attempt to be restored after they have been thrown down, but they cannot succeed. Even though Edom has said, verse 4, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Now, Edom's history, if you take the time to trace it out, was filled with struggle and disaster. But the point is, this is a demonstration of God's love. I have loved you, says the Lord, yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Now notice, please, says God, the difference in the way that I treated you compared to Esau, the way I treated the descendants of Jacob, known as the nation of Israel, to the way I treated the descendants of Esau, who are the nation of Edom. How did God love Jacob? By rescuing them from the misery that Edom experienced, though they were just as deserving of it as Edom. Edom tried to be restored after being judged, after being conquered by surrounding nations. They were determined that they would rebuild, but God instead said, I will frustrate their efforts. I will thwart their endeavors. I will reverse their accomplishments, and I will even publish their ungodliness. They shall be called the territory of wickedness. What is Israel known as? The Holy Land. What will Edom be known as? The land of wickedness. Now, who can say, truly, that Israel deserves to be called the Holy Land? I don't think so, but they are. That's the goodness of God, the love of God. God has pronounced severe judgment upon Edom, even as he pronounces it upon other nations, after his patience has been exhausted, after their rebellion will not be changed, will not be diminished, after they refuse his entreaties, after they continue to spurn his grace, the judgment falls, and it is irreversible. They are utterly destroyed. God will not reverse his decision in regard to the nation of Edom and the promise to bring them to complete destruction. But Israel, by contrast, is also likewise judged, richly deserved, but they are restored. Edom is judged and destroyed. Israel is judged and restored. There's the evidence. I have loved you, says the Lord. You say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I have loved. See the evidence of it in your own land. But Esau I have hated. See the evidence of it in what is going on with the nation of Edom even then, and will continue. At the time the prophecy of Malachi was spoken, Edom was not yet entirely destroyed. But he said, your eyes will see it. It will come. Israel will come to see the fulfillment of Edom's destruction. Israel will come to see the fulfillment of Israel's blessings until Israel shall come to the place where it will say the Lord is magnified, where it will give glory to God, where it will recognize God's universal glory. That's what's going on, and there's the evidence of God's love for Israel. Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.